Pastor Kerr asked me to introduce myself a little bit. I'm Alex Luke. I've been in the States more than half my life. I came, I think, 37 years ago at least. So more than half my life I lived in the States. I came from Vietnam. My parents came from China to Vietnam. So I was pretty much a bicultural, you can say, a person who lived through another culture and trying to find my identity. But the Lord led me to the States, and I came to Columbia about 28 years ago, teaching in CIU. If you heard of the name CIU, that's where I have taught for 28 years. I hope I'm not too old to speak to young people, and one reason I said that because I do have two sons, and they grew up, started as babies, just like many of us. I hope it's all of us, and we all go through the stages as parents, so we know sometimes your struggles and sometimes we don't. And especially there are so many forces outside in the world that bombarded to the younger generations, that sometimes we, the older generations, I'm talking about especially with Chinese background, tend not to understand. And I try my best to understand my two sons. They are now grown up and they have their jobs. And thank the Lord, they walk with God. And today I like to talk about something that matter a lot to our lives. And I see life, as I'm sure you do, as a journey of decisions. To live is to make decisions. Whether we decide which toothpaste we like to buy, you know, it's important for our mouth. And some people squeeze the toothpaste in different ways. You know, I remember one couple said, the wife complained, the husband, you know, every time he just grabbed the toothpaste and squeezed anywhere he liked. And the wife, when he squeezed the toothpaste, you know, it just from the bottom, you know, very gently, you know, moving up. Decisions like that may seem to be little, well, maybe, but from little decision like what toothpaste to buy and how you squeeze it, to the decision of marrying who, you know, big decisions, or which college to go. In a sense, life, whether we like it or not, is a collection of decisions. And the Bible very concerned about us, not only that we know Jesus Christ and we believe in Him and we know for sure we'll be going to heaven, but God actually wanted us to know. He wanted to guide us daily. My topic today is guided by God. And Christmas time, one of the most important texts is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. And I only selected just two on the screen. Of the next slide, you will see the text, the Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6. The people walk in darkness will see a great light. And what is that light? A few verses down, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And then about 700 years later, Jesus walked in that region called Galilee. That's the background of Isaiah chapter 9. And he walked in the whole land of Israel, and he proclaimed that I am the light of the world. If you compare carefully what he said in this verse, he said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Isaiah 9 says, those who walk in darkness will see this great light to come. He's looking to the future. And now Jesus has come. He said, I am the light of the world. He who walks in darkness will not, he who follows me will never walk in darkness. That's pretty much like a response of fulfillment. That's what we call to Isaiah 9. That's really the meaning of Christmas. I know in Christmas, you probably heard of one of the very famous, you can call it a big hymn or whatever, Handel's Messiah. And some of you, I'm sure, even can play that or sing that in choir. I remember when I was young in Vietnam, one time actually, more than one time, was in a choir singing the Messiah. You know, I was singing tenor and really feel my throat slowly, you know, move up to the ceiling, kind of very straining the voice. But it's a wonderful song, Messiah. But Handel, actually in the 17th century, when he first wrote that song or that hymn, the long hymn, he ran into difficult time. He was guided by God, definitely. He prayed and asked God to help him. But when he first wanted to offer that song, was no easy time for him. Actually, the cathedral, the one in charge, said, no, we're not going to let you perform this. And it, or later, maybe perhaps, unless you change the title. Now, fortunately, it didn't change it, so we still call him Messiah. And the song, clearly, you know very well. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm not the one who can sing the whole thing, but Wonderful Counselor, you know the name. You all know how to sing that, a child we born to us? Or maybe not, maybe some of you do. You can join me if you want to sing that song just to start our Christmas. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A few lines down, what does it say? And his name shall be called, that's King James Version, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that really is the meaning of Christmas, meaning those who walk in darkness, we're in a journey of decisions in life, not only heading to heaven, but our daily walk. God wanted to give light to us. And in other words, sometimes I think, especially for those of you heading to college, one day you will question your faith. And I have met young people in colleges. They really have a hard time continuing to believe in Jesus Christ. One major reason, often that is, they would say, it's not relevant to my life daily. Yes, on Sundays, I feel very good. You know, go to church, I sing a few songs, I feel pretty good. But when I go to class, I heard this professor telling me this, and starting, my life is led by this ideology. And I know he makes even better sense than the Bible. Because the Bible is not relevant to my daily life. I have problems daily. Doesn't seem like God is answering my questions. So slowly, slowly, we see young people who grew up in the church left the Lord. But fortunately, God has mercies. A number of them, I heard testimonies of parents. The parents continue to pray for them, and eventually they turn around and coming back. But that kind of journey, almost like get off the track. So, today I'd like to briefly talk about this topic, guided by God. In other words, God does care about our life daily. He wants us to feel that our faith is relevant, even when we're doing our texting, the government texting us. You know, I'm switching back and forth between Mandarin and English in my brain sometimes, but not the texting part. Texting and even, you know, what to write and what term paper to decide. We know that God does care, even though we don't see Him. I wish when we choose something, God in from the ceiling would say, "I like Colgate." You know, to go and buy Colgate toothpaste, and then the whole thing is easy. He will even tell you if he speak like that. Now, Colgate has this ingredient will prevent you from cancer or something like that. But the Lord is not doing that often. Or for some people, maybe. But the Lord often will help us learn to live a life, what we call a life of faith. Faith often is trusting the one who loves us so much. Even without the person, we can see the person, we know the person will care for us. Now God actually present and help us. In other words, in a minute when we talk about this very important text, I want us to at least get some ideas of it. Not too lengthy to talk about Proverbs 3. It's one of the important texts about following Jesus and how God guides our life and walking after Him. But let me just once again remind ourselves that life in this journey of decisions is not how far we have traveled. You may be tired of hearing some people, "I'm more experienced than you. I travel many, many miles than you." The Chinese like to say, to somebody who's younger, you say, I have eaten salt more than you eat in rice. You know, all the bowls of rice you've eaten, you're not even not as much as the salt I have eaten. Meaning, I have gone to travel real far, and then sometimes we know the life. Some would be so proud, fast. My journey is much faster than the other people. Look, in 2 years, I finished a bachelor degree as well as a master degree. You know, pretty fast, right? And think for a moment, in 1 year you finish the whole high school and 1 year you finish the whole college, and then 1 year you need to finish your master, then the rest you enjoy life. And it's pretty fast. And even if you can do that, but life really is not how far you have traveled or how fast you have walked or run. It's how right is your direction. And that really is Proverbs 3 wanted to help us. There are three exhortations, or three, you can call it three things or whatever, that are on your sheet. You probably already saw it if you have not. It's in your sheet, the three points, and you probably guess what is missing in each of the points here. There are three of them, and each one will need to fill out one word. The first one is already on here, so you don't need to guess. Trust the Lord, that's the first one. The second point I will talk about from this text, Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 12, will be, do your, anybody want to guess? Do your best. Got it. We should have a price here, you know, at least $100 or $50 for Christmas. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But verses 1 through 12 in chapter 3 also emphasizes not excuse me, merely just, you know, I don't do anything, trust the Lord. Just, I don't lean on myself, just sleep late or whatever. No, you find a few verses in the text clearly talk about God want us to do our best. Trust the Lord and do your best. Now life is not always that certain. Even after you have done your best, have tried your best in high school, and fill up your application very well, and have all the essays written very well for college application, you're still uncertain about the future. Because certainty is in God's hand. So the third point, I don't have a prize for you, but I think you probably can guess. You know. The third point is commit what? Commit the rest. Very good. Who said that? I just heard. Yeah, great. Trust the Lord. Do your best. And commit the rest. And He will direct your way. Because we are not in control. The verse 6 especially, it talks about that He will. He's not we would do something. But let me explain this verse, these verses, and not just verses 5 and 6, which are the most important, is the center of verses 1 to 12. Yes, important, but actually the whole context will help us to understand God care about even 700 years before, or for Proverbs in Solomon's time is 1,000 years before Jesus, and people were living daily life. They need God to help them, and God do care and did care and is still care about us. The first point, I'd like to go back to the beginning. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now the English added the word own there just to make sure the idea is clear. And what the contrast is, trust in the Lord and not on our own. That's sound like very simple. If we are looking for God to guide us, and God will ask us the first thing, I'm sure, do you trust me with all your heart? Or you're treating me pretty much as I really need you, but I want to have my own part, you know. I cannot trust you completely because I'm not so sure, because I don't see you, I cannot sense you, etc. Now this is a big commitment, because it talks about two things, at least. One is, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. Now for the Old Testament, they're looking forward to the cross to be saved. And the cross is here. For us today, we're looking back to the cross to be saved. We are both saved. The ancient Israelites, the Jews before Jesus, they were saved by looking forward to the coming of Messiah. That's the whole emphasis of the Old Testament. But we are looking back. We don't see the Jesus nailed on the cross like Peter and John, but we look back to the reality, and for them they look forward to the reality to come. The great light will shone. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And we know trusting God, that's really the first step. We know accepted the Messiah. The Old Testament people would say that. For the New Testament people, they would say accepted Jesus Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, as you probably already know. And that is not an easy thing. Chapter 2 of Proverbs, what does it say? It talks about our own understanding. You know, this will be something challenging to us. It's a puzzle, intentional. If you have read chapter 2, the context of chapter 3 of Proverbs, you will know God said, in our life we need wisdom. And we know that we all lack wisdom. But God wanted us to pray so that God's wisdom will come, asking God for wisdom. And when we do that, God does care about leading us, make good decisions. We have all kinds of decisions to make in life. And chapter 2 even said what? God's wisdom, His understanding will enter into our heart and will protect us, will guide us. It sounds great. Okay. Chapter 2 is true. If chapter 2 is true, now we're reading chapter 3. Then God said, do not lean on your understanding, or can I add the word own, understanding. Now let's to clarify what I'm saying here for a moment. If you have three colleges that you have to go, you know, that would be a very very good choice. Now for some people, they don't have anyone to choose. For some, maybe there's one. And for you, and you have three of them. Now maybe some people say, well, your three ones are not the top in the world. But it doesn't matter, I'm talking about three to choose from. And you are a Christian, you know God cares about your future and will guide you beyond college. So you do want to know for sure, God, please tell me A, B, C. Now I have A, B, C to choose from. And the deadline will be a month from now. I've been praying, my parents are praying, and my pastor are praying, and now I have A, B, C. Every day when I wake up, I saw the ceiling, A, B, C there. You know, which one? And one day I said, B got to be the better one. Okay, now I believe God's wisdom entered into my heart. His understanding will help me. Now it would be nice that the wisdom, the understanding of God, which is in to me, to guide me, help me, resides or lives on the right side. In my own IQ and understanding is on the left side. Okay? It would be nice. Now, why I said that, because very easy, if on my left side of God's wisdom, on the right side of God's wisdom, left side my own wisdom, then when I look at A, B, C, you know, these three names are all alike, you know, I like them. And then when I look at A, the left side move, you know, oh, that's not the right one. B, the left side move, that's my own understanding, you know, I don't want to lean on it. C, wow, this side move. You know what I mean? It would be easy, much easier. But often in life, you will find, you know, you really wonder, you know, this is a good idea, whether this idea coming from God or not. Now I know ultimately you can say, it has to be guided by the Word of God. But some of you would say, well, the Bible doesn't tell me, Wheaton, you know, I couldn't find the name Wheaton College. I couldn't find the name USC. You know, even though the Bible said, you know, God guides me. If I find it, it's easy. You know, whether I be a gamecock, or I'll be a tiger, or, you know, I'll be an eagle somewhere. But that's not the thing. So what does chapter 3 is saying? Chapter 3 really go back to a very fundamental trust. Trust the Lord. Meaning, even if you're so proud that you finally, after prayer, or even in a certain thing, confirm that C is the choice that God wants you to go, even if that's true from your understanding. When you step on and start, you know, deciding to go to the C college, you should not lean on that understanding. You step into that school or fill out the form and say, I want to go here. You and I need to pray, Lord, even though with all the good advisors I have, that's the decision. And yet I'm not leaning on that understanding. The one I lean on is you. And when I step into that college, I don't even need to look back, oh, I made a good decision, this. Yeah, I know they have good program on science, you know, this or that. Oh, I found really good science. I hope your attitude will be, Lord, thank you. The one I trust you. The trust I have is really on you. Yes, I found this science program here is good. And I found that I'm so smart. Hopefully we don't say even that what I predicted was correct. But your life and my life will run into hurdles in life. Even in the best place. Even in church. Even in CIU. You know, some of the best places in the world is here in CIU. Yes. You know what? I hope that's not leaning on my own understanding, but I hopefully make the point clear. That is, when we decide on something, decide on, Lord, this the man I will marry, or this woman is I will marry, we will not be proud to say, because I've analyzed so well, no, she is pretty and she is what, so my manner, and, you know, or he is, but rather, Lord, we or I made a decision is based on trusting in you with all my heart. And that really is a challenge. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, because in life, God wants us to know that we need to trust God more than even good ideas that we think is coming even from the Word of God. In other words, another point here reminds us, the Bible is what God wants us to know, to guide us, it's a light for us. But we ultimately is not trusting, our faith ultimately is not in the Bible, but rather through the Bible, our faith is in God. And I know sometimes trusting the Lord will challenge us, not lean on our own understanding, we avoid conflicts as Christians. And sometimes we think that my idea is the best, and why not they adopt this? You know, when we're in a decision for something, and in the church and in small group, etc., I just got frustrated because they just don't listen to my best idea. You know, this once again reminds us, if we truly wanted to be guided by God, we have to watch out for where we place our trust or lean on. The second point I'd like to talk about is do your best. And interestingly, this text starts out by emphasizing the Word of God. Keep God's Word in the heart. And that really is the foundation. Because true wisdom ultimately will be through the Word of God. Even though the Word of God tend to give general principles, not specifics, you know, telling us, but it's important for us to see this foundational. Do our best. I saw you have a board writing Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 and saying that whatever we do it with all our heart, as if it's doing what? Working for God, working for the Lord and not for man. I think that's probably one of the best definitions for what doing the best. Now in this text, doing our best is expected. In other words, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord doesn't mean we will do nothing. We really leave it to God. I remember one young man told me, he and another leader in the small group in the campus, you know, not here in this state. The story is they were organizing an outreach on campus to non-believers, and they know a lot of work to do. And then the other leader said to him that, well, we need to trust the Lord and just pray and then leave everything to God. He will bless us. Now that sounds great. By the time the outreach is coming, you know, deadline is coming, the other young man who is very conscious about planning, he knows, yeah, trust the Lord, but we have a lot to do. We better, you know, plan and do it. And oh, you know what? By the time that the whole thing was came. And the one truly worked his life, worked almost half dead. And it was the one who take an attitude that we need to do our best. I'm not saying doing our best, go first. The Bible does not say that. I know that, I remember one preacher criticized a very popular saying in American culture. I don't know how correct his criticism is. The saying is, do your best and leave the rest. I mean, trust the Lord for the rest. Do your best, trust the Lord for the rest. Now, I see some wisdom in that. The reason he felt very uncomfortable, this preacher who is pretty, to some extent, is pretty good preacher. And the reason, he said, is this fits very well American culture, where I go first. You know, do my best. And the rest I cannot do, God, you better take it over. So he saw that. Maybe that's his insight. I don't want to criticize that popular saying. What I'm saying, Proverbs chapter 3 emphasizes that trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on our own. It's a life appreciating God's grace. In other words, even when God said, do your best, avoid evil, shun evil, and how you deal with your possessions, the money, and don't let love and truth leave you. And love and truth, sometimes it's hard to balance. We know how we deal with people. You know, some people like to tell the truth. They feel so proud when they see you look tired. They say, why you look so tired today? Even though you know this person is very sensitive, he doesn't want people to criticize you. I don't care, you know. You look tired, you don't look good today. Your shirt I really don't like. You know, your hair style, why you cut like that? You know, that's the truth, I don't want to tell you. The Bible said, tell the truth what? In love. But you have other people who love and don't want to tell the truth. And you're not sure whether the person is telling you the truth. Even though you have done something wrong and need to be told, and the person said, you know, you're good. And even behind you, the person may be thinking differently. Whatever the text is saying there is that we need to do them by the strength of God, by God's strength. Because the first point, really the foundation for all that needs to be done. We do not lean on ourselves. When we do our best, we are not leaning on our own strength. It's God's grace from beginning to end. It's not a list of things we do as Christians, but rather a list of following and not leaning on ourselves and depend on God's strength. Don't feel depressed that one day you find you want to do your best, and then you found out what you have done your best is not achieving anything, and leave that to God, because you're not doing it by your strength and by God's strength. The last point is commit the rest to God. This is more of a response to verse 6. That is, He will make your path straight. Let's go back to one earlier slide. Let me comment one more point, then we come back to the commit the rest. The verse before that tells us that in all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, in all the things we do, we know we base on God's strength and do our best. In all our ways, you know, all our ways, all activities, we know Him, acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge there, actually other places translated as knowing God. In all our ways, know Him. In other words, when you walk in this life, the past is not important. I know I don't want to talk about Hebrew. I teach Hebrew, Old Testament in the seminary. But the text itself, that's the original language of the Old Testament. The text itself, the emphasis, is not on the ways you travel. The text focus, actually the emphasis, is on the He. There's a double He there for emphasis. In other words, in traveling this road in our life, what road we travel is not as important as who is traveling with us. I hope you remember that important teaching from this text. That is, you may go through zigzag in life. Sometimes you look back and say, oh, I wasted my time for 3 years on this. But I think what is important is if in these 3 years, your focus is on the Lord, who is traveling with you. Your 3 years was not wasted. But God somehow leads you a zigzag, the direction kind of unusual you feel. But the last point, and then I will finish here, that is, commit the rest to God. And the verse says, and He will. It's not so much you trust the Lord and you in your ways, all your ways, you need to do this. But rather, we need to acknowledge that God will make your path straight. What does it mean? The word make straight here is from a word root, meaning right. And you can translate it a different way by saying, He will make your way right. In other words, it may be very smooth. Now, sometimes we read make straight, we tend to think, if I do this, God will give me a smooth way. You know, I got into the right college, then my way will be smooth. But that's not the only meaning. The meaning is whether it's smooth or rough, it is a right way that God is making for us. So when years later looking back, even though you go, some people are more tough than others, some have got sickness than others, their life really traveled. Earlier I heard the prayer of Pastor Curtis praying for person with stroke and person with cancer. Sometimes you wonder why their journey is more rough than others, and others seems to be more smooth. Whatever, I think it's not the path we travel, but rather who we are traveling with. And ultimately, a lot of things we have no control. After you finish applying a college, I'm using this because my experience through that as well. What do? You have no control. You don't know whether you will be accepted or not accepted. You have done your best. You trust the Lord with your life, and what you need to do is commit the rest. It's a waiting time sometimes, and even as you grow up and thinking of marriage, sometimes a waiting time is the most painful. You wonder when or what. But that's the time often we need to believe and trust that God will make the way right, whether it's tough or not so tough. And I remember my year in Chicago, I was studying there. And in the middle of my study, I knew very well God led me to the school. in the middle of my college seminary there, and Vietnam fell and it collapsed, and I was cut off from home. No communication. You heard of the Vietnam War. And I sometimes question, Lord, did you lead me here? Even though a lot of people pray and I pray, we know this is the right place. But why now I'm alone? Fortunately, I was married with my wife, but in terms of with family members, I really cut off. And did I go to the wrong place? We all have doubts like that. But if we know that we have trust the Lord and do our best and commit the rest, and we got to believe that God will make the way right. So a few thoughts, then we'll finish. What does Christmas mean to you? Jesus is light, and I pray that you will find this light go beyond Christmas, guide your life into the future, and ask yourself, what do you rely on? What do you trust in this coming new year? And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world as well, as Matthew chapter 5 on the screen here. And are we reflecting that light? People are looking for, or looking at people to see whether people really have a sense of direction in life. Do you have that sense of direction that other people really wanted to become like you and therefore believe in God? If you are a Christian, you're always very confident. Whatever you think about and you decide about, you always feel that it's always right. I hope this passage reminds us to be a little bit more humble, that we should not lean on our own understanding as God guides us in all decisions in life. In any case, I pray that as you move forward in your life, trust the Lord and do your best and commit the rest. Let's pray. Our Father, we know that you care about our daily guidance and you are with us. Lord, I pray that as we move forward into next year, that you will help us to know that you guide us, whether it's an important decision, whether a little decision, sometimes we think. We pray that even the little decisions, we will say, Lord, there are many little decisions every day I'm making, but I commit all to you. I do want to commit myself first and foremost and trust in you. And help me by your strength do my best. And help me not to worry or not to burn out, but rather learn to commit the rest to you. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.